Hello and welcome to the Planet IRL podcast, episode number 18. We're joined today by site co-author and owner Cole Kirkland and our newest contributor to the PlanetIRL.com family, Stephanie from Toronto at 99 Forever. How are you guys doing today?
How's it going, eh?
I'm doing good, eh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Injecting some Canadian content into the podcast here. This is good stuff.
We're already adding the international flavor.
And before we start here, I do have to say we've been talking for a bit before the show, and we've decided that maybe Steph doesn't have the best, most rich Canadian accent ever, but she does have a liberal use of the words oot and a boot. So look forward to her saying those, eh?
And look forward to Cole laughing at them.
It's amusing. It really is.
Apparently my accent is amusing. We'll see as things go along. But,
well, wait till later, because in the second half of the show, we'll have the Tweet Up girls on to discuss that. And finally, someone on the show has the same accent as me, because Monica has the Wisconsin accent. So,
So big news this week. Obviously, the IZOT IndyCar Series announcement last week made at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Basic details, I'm sure everyone knows. 6 years, option for two additional beyond that. Valued somewhere in between $10 and $15 million range, we think. Although nobody's really giving out hard and fast numbers at this point. A good chunk of that will be going to advertising over the next 6 years. About $3 million a year into the IndyCar team fund. The balance to be distributed between the IRL coffers, hopefully making some new IndyCar IZOD commercials.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
We don't have
everything's to. Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be
very,
all right.
Very well. Yeah. It would be, we can have another message now.
So obviously good news for the IndyCar series teams in terms of the cash influx. But Steph, what do you think beyond just the money aspect, what's the biggest news of this to come out of the announcement that helps the IndyCar series long term from here on out?
I would put it on two big things. My favorite thing is the fact that IZOD and Philip Van Heusen, they know marketing big time. And that is something that this series desperately needs, is to get somebody involved on a high level who knows how to take the assets that the IndyCar series has and put them out into the marketplace to be consumed. And that's a strength that the IZOD folks have in spades. The other thing that I would say is a huge addition to this is that the target market that IZOD reaches is exactly where IndyCar needs to go to get their new fans. The IZOD brand looks to reach, I think we could say probably the 25 to 34 age range, probably a slight lean into the male side of the demographic as opposed to the female. People who sort of like the sporty attire, and that's exactly the sort of people that are going to find racing interesting and that the series has had a hard time reaching up to this point. So I think good things all around. There's really no negative spin to put on this. As long as promises are kept, I think that with the stability that this brings over 6 years, and we're looking at a long-term commitment from these folks here, there's nowhere to go but up.
I agree completely. I mean, Paul and I talked 2 weeks ago about this before it broke. Well, breaking is used loosely there, because we all kind of knew about a month ago.
In IndyCar history.
Has there ever been a good secret?
Well.
Paul, we talked 2 weeks ago about this. We thought, you know, it's probably IZOD, but maybe someone more of a national reach would be better. I think IZOD is a good partner. They've shown that they are dedicated to the series. Even if they're not the biggest company out there, they still have a good reach, and all around this is good. Maybe not as much on the cash side, because, you know, $10 or $15 million is a lot of money, but it's not going to go far. But more on the marketing side, they can bring their marketing team. And I think I heard somewhere that they will take over just like that god-awful Gene Simmons did a couple years ago.
Sorry.
We are not indie, thank you very much. And they can take over that, and they can spread the word a bit better than what the league can do by itself, so they can refocus their efforts on things that they should be worrying about. What about you, Paul?
I agree. I don't see any real negatives coming from this. I would expect a full onslaught of activation from IZOD over the next 6 years. One thing that I found particularly interesting that I wasn't ready for before the announcement was that IZOD has basically been given the keys to the IMS Museum.
Yeah, that is cool.
They have free access to basically anything that's there. So, you know, all of the winning cars that are there, a lot of the displays and all the history that's there, IZOD will have, they'll have access to that. We've already seen some of the stuff that they like to do with some of the retro clothing lines that they're coming out with already. I've seen some of the, you know, the Marmon Wass, the Bill Vukovich, the, you know, stuff from the Bardol special t-shirt lines.
I guess we can give a little shout-out to 16th and Georgetown there, too, because he's got a few pictures from the catalog up on his website right now, and that's the only place I've seen them so far. So if anybody wants to have a look, that's where you'd go.
Yeah, so check out James over at 16thandgeorgetown.blogspot.com for that. So,
didn't they have a few – I have to confess, I didn't get a really good look at this, but I thought that I saw that they were doing a few displays in conjunction with the rollout at Macy's in New York as well. I think they had a few cars in a few of the street side displays, didn't they? That looked pretty cool.
Our own Lisa is in New York right now, and she posted a picture yesterday of a huge banner in Times Square of the new IZOD IndyCar series, so that's good to see.
There's something that we can talk about from that. There are a couple things from that billboard that we could talk about that would be interesting. The two sort of, I think the one tagline has a little more weight than the other in terms of how they're going to use it. But we get to see two new sort of little taglines that will probably be used in association with the series. We had fastest race on Earth and don't blink.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about those?
I like the don't blink. I think it's nice, short, catchy, something that, you know, would stick with people. I don't think I'm really a fan of the fastest race on Earth one.
I was a lot more of a fan of that than I was about the rumor that was going around that it was going to be fastest cars on Earth. I was very concerned about that.
Yeah, I like that one even less, but I still don't really like the fastest race on Earth a whole lot either, because, you know, it's just as easy to point your finger at drag racing there as much as it is, you know, to say you're the fastest cars on Earth.
It's true. It's a little easier to talk your way around it, but it still does sort of instigate the argument of, well, wasn't it faster 15 years ago? Did we talk about that?
Exactly.
Oh, that's another whole rant right there.
Uh-huh. But I do think that Don't Blink is excellent, and I hope that they make good use of that. I've seen some people complaining about it. I haven't seen a lot of basis for it. And it certainly very succinctly speaks to one of the greatest selling points of the series, which is that the cars, they sure are fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, Cole, go ahead.
I just think I think everyone in the world agrees that it's nice to see that we can finally get away from the IM Indy, first of all.
And have you seen that they are officially dropping that?
We haven't officially seen it. I'll shoot over an email to the PR people and see if it is thankfully gone.
I would assume that it would have to be. I don't think that I'm sure we haven't seen the last of Gene Simmons, but it doesn't make sense to roll back to a campaign like that when you've got so much great stuff to hang your hat on going forward.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to see just even like the new logo. IndyCar's had the same logo since they got started with the very basic, you know, MLB logo just with a car instead of the MLB logo in it. So it's...
Well, that's another thing that we can talk about is how do we feel about the logo? I have to be honest with you. I think it's sharp, and it's probably the sharpest of the ones that the IndyCar series has had in its history. But I have to confess, I was hoping for something a little edgier. I still think it's a little corporate.
I just like the fact that it's not the same just red, white, and blue car. That was just kind of, it just looked very 90s, almost.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's more modern now, so.
I agree, and if somebody's paying, $10 or $15 million a year, then they ought to have their name prominently displayed on there.
Sure.
It's enough of a change that it's obviously very different, but at the same time, it is also, you still see what was there before.
Yeah, and that's obviously that's important. You need to maintain some brand consistency when you're going forward with logo changes like that, so that people can find some way to identify with where you've come from in the past. I just feel as though it doesn't have all that much action to it. It's a little bit flat, and with racing being such a fast sport and an active sport I just feel like there was a potential there to have something that was a little bit different, a little bit more edgy that was lost. Not that I have a problem with the logo that's there now. It's fine. It's safe, and that's good. I just was hoping for something a little bit more punchy, I guess, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
The banking has been flattened out a little bit there too.
Yeah, they still...
Oh, would you please not go there? Please don't go there. Oh gosh.
Although somebody did point out that it's much closer to 9 degrees now than it used to be.
but they still have the car from like 1992. So.
You know what? I bet you could count on two hands the number of people that would notice that.
Me and.
I notice it.
Well, okay, maybe not two hands, but there's a handful of people. The people that they're trying to reach with this logo are not going to notice that kind of thing. So,
again, it goes back to that whole thing. If you want to keep some semblance of where you were, allow
exactly.
things to change, but keep some things the same.
Mm-hmm. Also, this week, another big headline was there's going to be a big shake up. At Newman Haas next year. I'll throw that over to Stephanie because it sounded like she was the one that wanted to talk about this a lot. Do you know more about who the drivers are going to be or what you want to see?
Well, I don't have anything really firm to refer to here, but what I've heard is that we're looking at three cars. We can expect Graham to be back, which is, great news all around, obviously. Not too sure, haven't heard much recently about whether McDonald's is going to be back on that car or not. I've heard rumors both ways. So, of course, obviously, we'd like to see McDonald's back with the series next year. Hope that happens. Second car is rumored to be Alex Lloyd, and her is supposed to be bringing a little bit more cash next year, which is a great plus. Monster, are you listening? the third car is rumored to be Hideki Muto with his Formula Dream sponsorship coming over to NHL to make room for Ryan Hunter-Reay at Andretti next year.
The best part about that, the only part I liked, was the Ryan Hunter-Reay to AGR.
Oh, that is the best news. I really hope that happens. And between that, getting hopefully... haven't heard anything on this lately, but getting JR into a seat, having Graham at NHL, who are becoming increasingly competitive, we're looking at getting some more rock-solid American drives in this series, and nothing would be better. That would be possibly, arguably, even better than IZOD in terms of bringing interest to the series next year.
Mm-hmm. And with Danica going to NASCAR, as she said, definitely is.
Do you have to go there, man? You're on such a high.
Well, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, I got a hate mail, so I'd like Paul to talk to us about the Danica to NASCAR in case someone didn't read his post.
Well, it just comes down to, once again, NASCAR, as Prestog put it, gave us the scruff shake just to kind of, show us that they still have more testosterone than we do. Whether it was NASCAR or ESPN or some combination thereof, of course, once again, right the day before the the IndyCar announcement last Thursday, NASCAR comes out with this story that Danica may be signing with Junior Motorsports for next year to run nationwide.
Can I interject here, point out the fact that the IndyCar series kind of asked for it? I mean, when everybody on the planet knows what your announcement's going to be up to a week before it actually happens, can you really expect the folks at NASCAR to sit around and say, oh, well, let's just let them have their day and we're not going to try to step on this at all. Of course they were going to try to stir something up.
Can't we all just get along? Would it kill you to not kill each other every single week? Come on, people.
There's this little thing, Cole, called competition.
Though, and what I notice, and what the IndyCar and NASCAR needs to notice, and what other fans have noticed, is that a healthy IndyCar series does not threaten NASCAR.
Inclined to agree.
The growth of the IndyCar series is not going to come from taking fans away from NASCAR. The growth of the IndyCar series needs to be from an infusion of new fans who are not currently racing fans. IndyCar is not going to get people to convert from being NASCAR fans to being IndyCar. So IndyCar growing their fan base and making waves is not going to take away those fans from NASCAR. In fact, a healthy IndyCar series actually helps NASCAR, because then their ISC division, or no, you can call them separate, but nobody actually thinks they are separate. You know, all of a sudden now the ISC is selling more tickets to their races for IndyCar if that brand is stronger, and probably not taking away from their NASCAR races. So for NASCAR to continuously want to beat down on the IndyCar series and try to steal that thunder, if you will, it just doesn't make a whole lot of business sense, because in reality they're not really competing against each other.
And Paul, the thing you mentioned there is that would take business sense. And if there's one thing we know about NASCAR's administration, is that sense and logic just, you know, aren't their thing. Yes, it would be good for everyone if both series flourished, but they don't see that. They see this is a competitor and we have to beat them so we can, you know, grow more. But how has that worked for them over the last couple of years? NASCAR... I don't know the exact number on the television ratings, but over the last few years, they've gone down a lot.
No, I'm sorry, Cole. I can't agree with you there. I don't think that you can. I don't think we have any basis, and we all love IndyCar. We sure do, but we don't have any basis for claiming that IndyCar the good news that's coming out here has anything to do with NASCAR and its failings. It's being its own undoing. We have nothing to do with it.
Oh, I'm not saying we are. I just like to see them fail.
the problems with NASCAR right now are not in the slightest bit caused by IndyCar or anything that IndyCar is doing. There, and you can go read my post for this about a whole anthem. But their problems are they have a car that doesn't race well. They're trying to micromanage all of their races, and they're trying to come up with a contrived playoff system that doesn't work, and that's the genesis of their problems. It's not the fact that IndyCar now has a title sponsor. That is not NASCAR's problem. They need to, you know, like I said in the post as well, when I was in high school, I always got the whole thing from my geometry teacher, no yeah buts. And, you know, this whole announcement of theirs, which it even came out a couple of days later from Junior that this was – no news whatsoever. It's a giant yeah, but. I mean, you had people that were talking about how bad the chase was now that Jimmy Johnson pretty much walked away with it, even after a miserable race last week, and he still, you know, has a commanding lead. People were furious about the terrible race they had at Talladega, and NASCAR was tired of getting pounded in the media. Got pounded by their own ESPN, you know, who there is no one more in bed with NASCAR than ESPN, except for maybe Speed.
Oh, and now they're just two.
Let's just tick all of our broadcast partners off today.
Hey, Speed's not a broadcast partner. They didn't even talk about
they don't believe in IndyCar.
weekend. No. ESPN doesn't even count as a partner.
It's true.
But, you know, NASCAR finally got sick of all the bad attention being put on them, especially with the pending IndyCar announcement coming up. And people are they're going to look at that and say, hey, look, they have good news coming out, even in the struggling economy. And NASCAR wanted to put the kibosh on it. And it's not unlike anything they've ever done before. They've done this several times before where they come out with these sort of make-believe stories that aren't even really news. And they, you know, they try to trump the IndyCar news, and you know.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, you put out a press release that's got Danica Patrick's name on it, and it's going to get attention no matter what's in it. They didn't get anybody to get a close enough look at it to say, "Hey, there's actually nothing new in here."
How many?
Exactly. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing in that article that was news.
No.
How many off seasons have we been through where there has not been a story about Danica to NASCAR?
Well, I'd say probably 2007. Between 2007 and 2008 was probably the only one. Or 2006 to 2007, after her first year at AGR.
You all know that I'm not a giant Danica fan, but just leave her alone. Leave her alone. She likes IndyCar. She wants to win. And she's not going to win in NASCAR, and I think she even knows that. So just go away. Rant over.
Just to add one more thing, though, that I thought was really interesting. I had this pointed out to me. The IZOD IndyCar announcement, not one word was mentioned about Danica.
Which is nice to see.
It was good to see, absolutely.
We're finally moving away, and I know, Paul, you know, you're such a Danica worshiper. We're moving away from basing every PR move around Danica.
And even as exactly a big Danica fan, I applaud that, and that needs to happen.
We can't put all of our eggs in the Danica basket.
And we shouldn't. There are so many other good stories that can be told besides Danica, that the singular focus on Danica for the last 5 years has really probably hurt the league more than it's helped it. At a time when you could have really grown public relationships with Tony Kanaan and Elio Castroneves and,
yep.
You know, and Danica to an extent, to Ryan Hunter-Reay, to, not Marco. there's easily 8 or 9 drivers that you could have built marketing campaigns with. And, you know, it seems they've only wanted to push Danica for the last, you know, what, 5 years now?
Just to make a point on that, IZOD is already on top of this. Have you seen this this news on Twitter today that, I guess it was yesterday and today, IZOD sent Graham Rahal and Ryan Hunter-Reay to a golf tournament on the West Coast this week, and they did tons of activation getting them involved with a bunch of big-name celebrities. Graham was Twittering excitedly that we can expect to see a bunch of new famous faces at races next year. They're on top of this already, and they're using people other than Danica to get it done, and that's the way it should be done. Are there two better examples of Americans that need to have that need to be marketed to the hilt than Ryan Hunter-Reay and Graham Rahal?
But
exactly. I mean, that was a golf tournament that was hosted by Alice Cooper, who I don't even know how many radio stations he's on every night. I know it's a lot. And he said he was in a foursome with Jack Nicholson. I mean,
mm-hmm.
How would it be to have those two at Indy next year?
Well, Jack Nicholson can just sit in his chair and stare at the race cars silently, tilted slightly to the side, like he does at the Oscars. Sorry.
That was nice.
Canadians aren't all smiles and sunshine all the time, you know.
No, really, they're too busy, you know. Running people off the road. And
oh, here we go. Okay, this is where it gets started right here. Now, I was not on the podcast last week, Cole, with you and Paul and Crash discussing Paul Tracy. But I have a question for you, a trivia question, and I want to see if you know the answer to this offhand.
Ooh, okay. I do.
Yeah, you and I were talking about it yesterday. You don't get to cheat. So, Cole, here I go.
Before you start, that I have the power to mute your microphone.
Well, I think that if you do that, then you're showing who's won.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. Okay. I can take it.
Okay. How old, Cole, was Emerson Fittipaldi when he won his first Indy 500?
That's irrelevant.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely not. Answer the question.
He was not young.
You don't know offhand. You can't even look it up. It's not readily available online. I had to do the math.
Paul's
lying to you.
Yeah, I don't believe him because I know he's trying to rip me off and he's saying 38 right now, but it doesn't matter. This is a different time, and Paul Tracy does not belong in the IndyCar series. That's the end of that discussion. So,
no, it is not the end of that discussion. Answer the question, Cole.
I'm not going to answer the questions. I refuse to talk about Paul Tracy.
Because you know you're going to lose. Because you know you have no basis for your argument.
Oh, I'm going to get hate mail again.
How old was Emerson Fittipaldi when he won his first Indy 500, Cole?
He was exactly... And in other news, Newman Fox this year.
42, Cole. He was 42. How old was Emerson Fittipaldi when he won his second Indy 500, Cole? 46.
42 plus 4 years.
46, Cole. Are you going to sit there and tell me that Emerson Fittipaldi was not one of the greatest IndyCar racers of our time while he was driving?
He was great, but here's the thing. He's not named Paul Tracy.
So your problem is just with the man, not with... You can't sit there and call Paul Tracy old and say that it's an excuse for not having it out on the racetrack. I just proved you wrong. So all you're saying is that you got a problem with him personally, and that is a terrible reason not to have him in the series.
I do
exactly why he needs to be in the series.
That's the perfect reason he needs to be in the series.
No, it isn't.
It is so. Absolutely it is.
You're telling me that you would rather see Paul Tracy than J.R. Hildebrandt.
I would like to see Paul Tracy and J.R. Hildebrandt.
See, it doesn't work like that. There are only a certain number of seats.
If I had my choice, I would rather have Paul Tracy.
See, and that's...
Thank you, Paul.
Here's the thing, Paul. You're what we call wrong.
Go for it, Cole. Tell Paul why he's wrong.
Hildebrandt, he's young, he's American... I think he does bring some sponsorship. Let's see, Paul, old, not young, American, and talented, and brings minimal money because even as a PT hater, I can't understand why Monster doesn't sponsor him more.
He is the embodiment of Monster's brand. I don't understand it either. That's why we're working on them. But, Cole, I'm going to give you this. If I had to choose between having Paul Tracy and J.R. Hildebrandt in a full-time ride, and I was forced to choose between the two of them, I'm going to confess I'm one of PT's biggest fans, but I would have to pick J.R. And the reason is because J.R. has massive future potential. He's going to be huge when he hits the series. He's incredibly talented.
Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to argue.
But...
We don't need to work for right now. We need to think about the future and moving forward.
We need to work for right now and for the future, and that's why both of them should be in cars, because Paul can bring controversy and rivalry right now to get us on the map, put JR in another car, give him a couple years to get up to speed, and then we've got health now and we've got health in the future. And I don't know if I like this argument that there aren't seats to be had. The problem is there isn't sponsorship to be had. If you go and talk to any one of those team owners, I'll bet you that they would tell you that there are ride buyers out there right now that they would kick to the curb if they could get PT or JR in a seat.
Yeah, I'm not saying that if there were 100 seats available right now, yes, take Paul Tracy. I don't hate Paul Tracy, but there are so many more people who deserve it before him.
But there are people that are in cars right now that don't.
Well, yes, but we can't change that. Milka does not deserve to be in an IndyCar. Paul deserves to be in IndyCar more than 10 people right now, but there's a whole line of other people that need to be there more than Paul.
You think so? A whole line?
A whole line. The entire class from Indy Lights... Plus.
Wow, that's a pretty big declaration. I don't know if I can agree with that. I'll give you JR, but...
One example, Mario Rowancini. That kid joined the Light Series this year, had never seen an oval, and I believe he won on the second oval he ever got on. He has that same fire that Paul does. He's very aggressive. He's young. He's marketable. And he's something that we can lean on 10 years in the road. Paul is not young. He's not going to be around much longer.
Paul, okay, first of all, PT is done when PT says he's done and no one else. PT has got lots of life left in him. I mean, every race that he was in this year, if you go and look at the television ratings for this year, and more importantly, if you go to the Monster website and read the comments.
I left one.
Did you?
I think I did. I don't remember.
But like going to the Monster site and reading the shoutouts is actually really interesting, because even I was surprised at how many people said, I don't watch the IRL right now, but I will if Paul's in a car. And if you look at the TV ratings from this year, number one, outside of Indy, Toronto. You know why? Because Paul was racing in his hometown, and he was up at the front, and he got into it with Helio, and there was a huge controversy. The crowd was booing. That's what people want to see.
Okay.
And Paul can bring that now.
Yes, he can bring that now.
And Stephanie, you wrote a good piece about, you know, where are the rivalries gone?
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you, if Paul Tracy and Helio are in a race, there is a rivalry, because those wounds, as much as people would like to think, those wounds are still open from the people that still want to claim Paul Tracy has won the 2002 Indianapolis 500. Every time those two are going to be on the track together, there's going to be a fan base from each of them that is going to be rooting vehemently against the other.
Absolutely. And not exactly all of those people are the people that are already watching.
Right. No. In fact, there's a good group of the Paul Tracy ones that still refuse to watch.
Yep.
Okay. Here's my thought.
You're still going, Cole.
Oh, you...
chugging away.
More hate mail by the second. The only time I want to see Paul in the series, I don't have a problem with him there, or Indy only, or somewhere there are seats. If we can get a few new young people in, I'm fine with it, bring them in. But if we don't get those new young people, and we get Sebastian Bourdais and Paul Tracy, heck yes. Because that was a good rivalry to watch.
True, but that rivalry existed within Champ Car. I mean, the IRL fans realize that there is a rivalry there, but they're not going to embrace that like the Champ Car fans did. And you have to remember that there's a lot of Champ Car fans that watch IndyCar. There are still a lot of very bitter Champ Car fans that aren't going to watch it, regardless if Seabass and PT are there.
Well, they need to get over it. We're not going to sway them either way, so I'm not
exactly
worried about
it. Exactly. So to point to that and say, you know, they need to be in the race together because they have this big rivalry, and you know, it really doesn't into IndyCar as well as PT and Elliot do. Never mind the 2002 race. Then you have a whole world of Champ Car fans rooting against a whole world of IndyCar fans. And now
that's how we start riots, Paul.
But Paul's absolutely right. We need to take a step back from that. That's not the kind of rivalry we want to see. This, where we are sitting right now, we need to be blurring those Champ Car and IRL lines, not putting them even harder in front of us. So I think he's right. I mean, it wouldn't break my heart to see Seabass back in the series, because there's another household name for you there. But I don't think it's necessary at all. I mean, you put Paul in a car for two races, and he's going to have all kinds of new rivalries set out for himself.
Yes, because he's a
nimble.
He can't keep his car in a lane.
But we're talking about it, aren't we?
Only because you started it.
Yes.
I have the hate mail already. It's already flowing. Newman Walks, speaking of Champ Car, has said that they would like to maybe partner alongside the current team and get back into the series with John Edwards.
Yeah, the latest on that is that it looks like they're not going to make the hop to the big cars after all. They're looking at going into the Indy Lights for a year, which overall, I have to say, I agree that that's a good move. John Edwards is great. There's no question that he's very talented, but he's very young. And at 18 years old, I don't know, there are guys already running in Indy Lights who are older than that who might deserve just as equal an opportunity. So having him take a step back, running in the Indy Lights, getting some experience on ovals, I think that that's a good decision all around.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is Ohioan, so that already makes him good.
You are very, you have some interesting bias, I have to say.
Yeah, I've heard that they will, if they do come at all, they're going to partner alongside a current team, but that's what we heard at the beginning of this year with Forsythe, who, you know, I would rather shave my eyeball than have that experience. They said they were going to do Indy Lights, IndyCar, and Grand Am, and they don't have a car in any of those. No one knows what happened to them. So.
I don't think Forsythe is going to be back. I think he's done.
Oh, take your football and run home to mommy just because they don't want to play by your rules.
Oh, dear. Ouch. That's harsh, dude.
It's true. It doesn't matter if it's harsh, it's true.
Okay, so we're good at ticking people off for here at Planet
We?
IRL.com. We, yeah, true.
We.
So do we have anything else we need to cover, guys?
I think that's it for news this week.
I think that covers everything I was interested in talking about. Paul, you got anything?
Only other thing I had to add was that this week on Trackside with Kevin and Kevin is the blogger night, so Cole and I will be representing planetirl.com on there. Cole, I think you're in the first hour, and I got a special spot in the second hour, so looking forward to that. I'm sure there'll be several other bloggers taking part in that as well.
What's special about your spot, Paul?
I don't know. Apparently,
the fact that he's not a real blogger.
I was in the second hour, so I assumed they were saving the best for last.
Oh, uh-huh. Is that what it is? Yeah, I'll be fourth in the 7 o'clock hour, and Paul will be near the end representing Planet IRL, and a lot of the other bloggers will be on there, so be sure to listen to that. Steph, is there anything you want to say before we're done here?
Oh, we just have to throw a birthday shout-out to our fellow contributor, Bash. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Bash.
Very happy birthday, Bash.
We covered everything we wanted to cover and a lot of stuff we also didn't want to cover, but that's okay.
Well, you can't invite a Canadian to the podcast for the first time and expect her to take that kind of anti-PT sentiment lying down. I'm sorry.
Well, the next time we're finding someone from France. Because they know how to make a driver. So.
Oh, dear. Yeah, they... Oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh, just because they keep their helmets on.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to base the actions of one whiny driver and
pin
them all on an entire country.
The guy who's been whining for, 7 years, but about... Okay. Now, before we offend any more of our listeners, I think we'll end this segment. Be sure to stick around because after this we have a little short segment with Elizabeth and Monica, who are organizing the Tweet Up at this December, and they're going to tell us a little bit about that. As for Steph, Paul, and I want to thank them for joining me, and we will be back next week about the same time with a special guest host analyst. So thanks for listening. And now on the Planet IRL podcast, we are joined, Paul and I, by Elizabeth and Monica, the hosts of the Winter Indy Tweet Up in Indianapolis this year. They're going to tell us a little bit about what they're going to be doing and why you should come. First off, can you tell those of us that aren't on Twitter, which we all are, but the listeners that aren't, can you tell them about what a Tweet Up is?
Actually, this will be the second show I've ever been to, and so when I first heard about it earlier this season, I wasn't even sure myself, but Tweet Up is basically just a gathering of people who are, most people who are on Twitter, but we'd be happy to have anybody who's an IndyCar fan for this one, and it's just kind of a gathering of a certain civic interest or I don't know, group of people united by one thing. And in this case, it's IndyCar.
Okay. So this one is an IndyCar-focused tweet-up, and that's in December Friday.
December 11th through the 13th.
Okay, that entire weekend there will be one giant tweet-up of epic proportions, to quote you guys.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Monica, can you just give us a rundown of some of the things we'll be doing, some of the highlights of the tweet-up?
Yeah, absolutely. The Friday night is kind of the gathering night when we figure everybody's going to be heading into town. So we have planned a get-together at the hotel. So right now the hotel that is offering the group discount is the Sheraton Indianapolis City Center. And that night is basically just going to be from 5 until whenever they kick us out of there, we're going to get together and drink and mingle and just have some fun. And then Saturday is when most of the events are planned. So we have a tour of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum that morning, and then lunch at the Cheesecake Factory as we hope to relive the Cheesecake debacle in one way or another. And then the afternoon will be karting. We actually rented out the entire Fast Times go-kart track, and they're going to be setting up a Grand Prix-style race for all of us, followed by dinner at Scotty's Brew House in Indianapolis. I believe that's on the north side. Is that right, Elizabeth?
Yes, the one on the north side.
Yep, and then that evening is kind of a free-for-all. We're going to figure out where people want to go, but I'm hearing Broad Ripple is probably where we're headed, possibly bars in downtown Indy. And then Sunday morning, nothing planned, just we figure people are going to be heading out of town that morning. So that's a recap of the whole weekend.
So before the Cheesecake Factory, we'll be at the museum to do the grounds tour?
Yes. The people at the museum have actually, it was supposed to just be a museum tour, but they've agreed to take us on a tour of the grounds as well because of the size of our group.
That sounds epically awesome. I hope I can make it. just looking through the other events here. So why should people come? What is so special about this that they can't miss it?
Well, I think the better question is why not? I mean, there are so many people coming already. If we already look at the guest list, we have 24 yeses, and we've only been planning this for the past few weeks. And we've got so many great things planned that are IndyCar related. It's the off-season, and, you know, a lot of people kind of miss the excitement of the season, looking forward to races on weekends. And so this is just kind of something that we've planned to get everyone together with the, like I said, the common love of IndyCar. And just get excited, talk about it, maybe hopefully talk with some of the teams, some of the drivers. We're just trying to see who we can get. I don't know, we have a lot of great things planned. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think for me it was kind of a situation where Elizabeth and I were at Miami and we thought, God, this is going to be really hard once the race is over and we know that nothing's going on until, you know, next year. So that was kind of the impetus behind this. We just decided that there's probably a lot of fans out there who feel the Homestead hangover and feel the same way we do, so let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. And on a bit of a side note here, as for people that are coming, a lot of the team from Planet IRL and some of the other blogs are planning on attending. Are there any other people of note that you know are going to be coming?
We kind of have that under wraps right now. There'll be some surprises coming out in the next few weeks, but we can't tell you just yet.
Ooh.
Definitely.
Cliffhanger there.
This is probably a good opportunity to speak to all those 44 maybes we have right now.
Yeah, you got that.
I know there's a lot of people who we've been talking with who have been talking about being so excited about coming, but you're still on the maybe list. So it'd be really great if we could get you over to the yes side, because you're not going to want to miss it, that's for sure.
Okay. And as for staying in Indianapolis there at the Sheraton, what info do you guys have on the hotels and booking rooms?
Well, this is just kind of a reminder that November 16th is the last day to be able to book your hotel room at the group discount. They may extend it for us. I doubt it. They're looking at the 16th being the last day. So if you log on to the Twitter invite page, there's a link there to the hotel or to the hotel reservations page. And if you click on that up until November 16th, you'll be able to get that rate, $99 a night. And they're allowing us to have four people per room, four adults per room. So that's kind of a spectacular deal if you want to do $99 per night with four adults and split that up. It's, you do the math. It's pretty good.
Okay, so if people are now going to plan on coming, how do they RSVP, and do we have to prepay for this, or what? Can you explain that process a bit?
Yep, it definitely is a prepaid thing because we need to pay the events people that we're planning it with. What we're working on setting up right now is a special Evite page because there's a lot of people who aren't on Twitter and we want them to be able to RSVP as well. So once we get that Evite page set up, we'll link it from the regular Twitter invite page, and there will be a PayPal button on there so people can just click on the button and use credit card or debit card or however they want to pay for the events ahead of time. And once we receive your payment, we're just going to mark you down as a, you know, an absolute yes for attending the event.
If we're going to come, what do we have to stay at these locations? Do we have to do this roster in order to come, or can we kind of change it up or go to a different hotel or something? Do you have to stay at this hotel to be involved?
No, you can pretty, I mean, the hotel, we have the rate because, first of all, like Monica mentioned, it's a really good rate, so that's the option for people, but you can stay wherever you'd like. We give the schedule just so people can kind of show up to whatever they want to. If you don't want to go to both the tour and karting, those are the two things that are going to cost, you're going to have to prepay for. If you don't want to go to both, if you only want to go to one, that's fine too. You can only pay for one. If you want to just show up on Saturday and pay for that, it's really just a matter of whatever everybody wants to do. That's why we have the RSVP, just to kind of just get an idea of how many people are going to be there. You know, that's why it's important to change to either yes or no. But no, it's really just whatever everybody wants to do, what you have time for, and what you'd like to show up for.
Mm-hmm. And as we look at this, you just said change the maybes to no's and yeses. They were, the girls here were specific in telling me that it would really help them if you are on the maybe list, which is quite extensive right now, that if you could pick yes or no sometime soon, that would help them a lot. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we finish it off here?
Just that
everybody out there.
Yeah, this is something you don't want to miss. This is your diehard fans coming out there. It's going to be a great event.
And
yeah,
as a bonus,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
And as a bonus, I might be there, and a lot of the other members of the team will be there. So you'll meet all of your friends from Twitter and fellow fans who share the same passion as you.
And, hint, hint, drivers from a variety of leagues.
See, yeah. Now you've got them all curious, so they're all going to come.
A variety of leagues?
A variety of leagues. Huh. That's interesting.
We got
There's
big
a
thing
for
you. Okay, I want to thank Monica and Elizabeth for joining Paul and I today to talk to us a bit about the tweet up. And I want to thank Stephanie and Paul for joining me earlier for the main part of the IndyCar segment. I will post the link to the Tweetvite and the Evite if I get that in time with the story, so you can RSVP there if you want to check it out. Monica's contact address is on there as well if you want to talk to her about something or have any questions. If there's anything else you guys want to cover?
No, thanks for having us on.
Thank you very much.
And it is nice, on a side note, to have someone on the podcast that has the same accent as me for once. Thank you, Monica.
No problem.
Okay. Thanks for joining us here on the PlanetIRL.com podcast.